This podcast was made possible by an anonymous Irvingtonian and by our primary sponsor, Artisan Realtors, your Irvington real estate source.
It's time for another edition of Firehouse Irvington. We're excited to be with you again. We're going to be talking about what has become the second home for Firehouse Irvington and what a long, strange trip they've had recently, because we started off in a coffee house and we try to do as many shows as we can at the Black Acre, because the Black Acre Brewery has become one of our favorite places and it's a prominent part of the new Irvington saga. So we are excited on our show to have Holly and Justin Miller from Black Acre. Thanks, you guys.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having us.
I know you guys are very busy, and I'm really pleased that you made time for this, because there's so many people in Irvington that want to know a little bit more about the Black Acre story. You guys had sort of an infamous event that we'll talk about here in just a moment. And we'd also like to thank our sponsor for Firehouse Irvington, who, by the way, ironically, is enjoying one of the beverages that you guys have so skillfully and thoughtfully brewed here at the Black Acre. And that's, of course, Dan Adams from Artisan Realtors. And his team will craft your Irvington home buying experience. The last time we talked to Dan, real estate in central Indiana is going quickly if homes are being listed. But it is also a great time to buy a home. So you certainly want to get in front of Dan and let him know all the parameters that you need. And you too could be living in historic Irvington, which is a very cool place. As we were saying, we are joined here by Holly and Justin Miller from Black Acre Brewing. And Justin, have you just always been involved in beer all your life?
No, as a child, I was not involved in beer at all.
That's interesting. You know,
actually, fun fact, I was.
Oh, see, I like that.
Yeah. I was.
I should have prefaced. No, I like hearing that. Maybe were you born to a famous beer baron? Or
no, but my dad was a home brewer.
Oh, cool.
So probably back, I don't know, I was 5 or 6 years old, my dad was doing a homebrew batch, and I was so excited to help stir the mash. Stir the mash, help fill the bottles with the bottle filler. So I've been around it for a while.
So you know a little bit about it. And Justin, I have to tell you that as an observer of the beer scene, because I really, truly enjoy the whole craft brewing experience, you are from Central Casting. All brewers have to have the perfect beard, and you do. So I don't know if that was part of learning to brew beer, that they said, oh, by the way, come over here, look in the mirror. Picture yourself with a beard.
My pride for every year until this year was I never had a beard and I don't have tattoos. So I always said, like, you could pick me out as the guy that is not tattooed and bearded. I still don't have tattoos, but
the
heat bill was getting high in the warehouse and I wanted my face to be warm this year. So this is the first year beard. Still be shaving off once 70 degrees hit.
Okay. But, all right. Yeah. But you do. You fit the look. And of course, Black Acre opens in Irvington. People are excited because now people are saying part of the things they liked about Irvington is the walkability. A very social place to be in Irvington was and is the Black Acre Brewery. But you guys had a fire there not too long ago, and that had to have really changed how you approach business.
So no one plans for a fire. If we did, we'd plan it for like February, not right before Christmas. Tickets to Mexico already pre-booked and everything. But there's never an opportune time for a fire, but right before peak holiday season is probably not great. So December 22nd, the fire happened, and we've kind of been dealing with everything from there. We've learned a lot about insurance and the process there. I mean, for instance, it took over 30 days for us allowed to just go in and do anything to touch stuff that was there, because there's an investigation process, there's
right.
Everything else. The insurance company wants to know who they can sue for money because they're out money.
Not only our insurance company, but then the landlord's insurance company and the insurance company of all of the businesses that are connected. on the strip.
So in January, when there was a walkthrough, there was 24 different fire investigators and adjusters all at one meeting, all representing different interests. On the strip, Dan's lucky. He's separated. He's in an air gap, so he was not, no smoke there. But everyone else, at least were shut down for the day. Black Sheep was still out of their main location. Doctrine was out of shut down for a while. So while we had the brunt of it, it affected, pretty much all the businesses on that strip.
Yeah, and that is one of the more prominent commercial spaces in Irvington, very prominent, very historic.
And you guys are almost in the exact middle of that structure, so a place to have a fire. They brought it under control fairly rapidly. And my question to you, because when you have a brew, when you are doing local craft beer, you have to produce said beer. Were you still producing beer at that site when this happened?
So we actually moved beer off-site in January of 2019. So we had been about a year not producing on that site. We produced it for the first 7 years there. An event happened, which was our rent tripling in one day, in which that you can no longer do small batch. We were doing small batch beer there and our large production batches here at the warehouse. The economics of square foot cost for small batch beer just no longer worked there, so the idea was to transition into a fuller kitchen, optimize front of house space. So that was kind of the transition process for 2019. And then the fire happened, which when we reopen, we'll open with the expansion side. We'll have a family dining section. We'll have that area that was in planning for 3+ years will actually happen, and the walls are all down, everything like that. Luckily beer production has stayed consistent, because that is done here, other than just having money to buy grain and hops and cash flow issues as things go on. But yes,
without getting a chance to interview you guys, I had been pleased to hear that, at least for all the amazing inconvenience I'm sure this was for you guys, at least the beer production had been moved off site, so therefore you're not losing several batches of beer when this was all happening, because that would have been catastrophic, I would think.
Most of the expensive equipment or infrastructure, everything is here on Bonna. I mean, the Washington Street Tap Room pretty much functions as a restaurant at this point, where you have restaurant equipment, you have your kitchen equipment, but it wasn't as large of a hit as if
Right, and you mentioned Bonna Avenue, which is where you have opened the latest Black Acre facility. And this is a beer garden, which is absolutely spectacular here on Bonna. And Bonna is kind of cool because we've done a number of shows at Coal Yard Coffee, and you're you're close neighbor to them. And this has been an underutilized, but I think soon to be more utilized section of Irvington.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's lots of potential on Bonna. You've got kind of Chris Baggett space with the mug and now. Strange Bird kind of area that's kind of connects it to. We're hoping to expand this here. It all comes down to now we're kind of organically expanding this space with money we have. So there's no big investor, no bank. So we're kind of just slowly try to, we thought we'd let's start at a point, try to make it nice, and then kind of slowly grow that outward.
Now, so many people love your Washington Street location. Is there going to be an attempt to rebuild and reopen that facility?
Yes. So we're, like I said, there was about a month where we couldn't do anything due to investigations. We've got a contractor. We have all the insurance budgets in place. In fact, we are supposed to get a permit released today so we can start construction. There's some sort of virus in the air apparently that may be slowing things
down.
That's
funny you said that.
Other factors.
I'm in broadcasting and we're doing the show with the backdrop of during a 12-hour period today, the world absolutely went crazy.
Yes.
And things that I never dreamed, and I've been part of some pretty kooky, wacky, progressive broadcasting.
Yeah.
Things, and I've been doing it for over 40 years, unfortunately or fortunately, I'm not sure which. And I have seen things today that I can't believe what I've seen. Everything from major sporting events being canceled to some states where they've sent home every school-age child, possible in-country travel bans and things. I mean, it's it's a stupefying thing. So as you said, your guys' brewery burns, world turns. You try to move forward, but there are other forces at bay as well.
Right. And, I mean, to be honest, March Madness was always a horrible time for us because we pride ourselves on not having TVs. We wanted to be a communal gathering place. That being said, this is Indiana. And sure. March Madness, especially with these Indiana teams, can decimate our business. So, I mean, I think the wash between viruses and March Madness is probably probably about, you know, if we were open, would be about equal. But
well, and I know we have to fall a little short of an endorsement, but I think beer is a good beverage to drink while you're possibly contemplating a quarantine. Get a lot of brewery fresh beer, have it at your home and your refrigerator, right. and you're kind of set for anything. Just shy of zombies,
right.
Of,
right.
Of course, but
and
that's
actually,
a whole other story.
In all of this, too, back in October, we got our artisan distilling permit as well. So we distill now as well, and you know they say if it's at least 60% alcohol, you can use that to sanitize.
My goodness, yeah. So you can have your own...
As long as it's at least 60%.
So you can distill some delicious beer, put that on the side, a hand sanitizer with the Black Acre
exactly.
logo.
Or because it's probably expensive, a mouth sanitizer.
Whatever it takes, and you know, there's market forces, of course. Well, we love Black Acre beer, and we're so excited that you guys are sticking around and that we can anticipate having your facility reopen. And, you know, not to go back over this point, but you said the place is crawling with fire investigators. And, of course, it was an accidental fire. So that had to be very odd for you. It had to be your own personal crime drama. When they're
asking you questions, and your response can't be, well, why are you asking? You have to answer.
Actually, Justin has a pretty terrible / funny story about his response initially.
Well,
because he's a jokester, as you can tell, and sometimes can't read the room.
Will this be on a crime show? Will this be on a crime show? So go ahead.
Yeah. So, so the day of the fire was an emotional day, and usually, like you know, you try to bring some brevity to it, just because it's there's a lot of stuff going on, and there's the fire investigator from you know the Indianapolis Fire Department, who's very professional, great, doing his job, and his real job is just to make sure. Is it arson or is it not? That's his whole
job,
right? Is it criminal or does it go to insurance? And so he went through, he, you know, interviewed me and he's like, when as the owner, when was the last time you're here? And I'm like, well, it was yesterday probably at 1, except for, you know, when I take Ambien, I can't account for my my time or place. And, you know, it gets like eyes kind of narrowing the notebook. I'm like, no, it's a joke. He's like, don't junk.
Yeah, I was going to say. He basically gave you some guidelines. Yeah. And
like,
no jokes, please. Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
Now's not the
I do admire the fact, though, you tried to toss in a comedic line there. And as
very
you know,
poor attempt at comedy,
well, and,
but...
and Roseanne, of course, lost a television show over Ambien, but it is a good excuse for not being able to remember anything recently.
Right.
Okay, so I've always said that every craft brewery has a flavor wheelhouse, and that's just my phraseology, and it comes from the brewer's sort of approach, if you will, to beer. Mm-hmm. And I've really admired the fact that you guys have a great range of beers, everything from a relatively light lager. I mean, just your board today, and I know this is subject to change. You know, we're all the way from a very robust porter, which, by the way, congratulations. Pretty potent to boot. And then you've also got the Black Acre Lager, which is probably a great beer for summer.
Yeah. I mean, so when we started at it with a very small 3-barrel system, 100 gallons, our whole idea was, you know, we have 30 taps. Let's do, no one beer will stay there very often. Let's just rotate things and do as many beers as we can. We were doing 120 different styles in a year, just kind of churning things out. They're there for a week or two, and then they're gone. We found it out pretty quickly that some people like consistency.
And some beers need to stick around, otherwise you get a lot of angry comments.
I've always said, you know,
trust me, this is just me enjoying the beer business, but I've always said you have to have some what I call house beers because right. that you can sort of hang your coat on mm-hmm. house beers,
mm-hmm.
and then yep. you can kind of go from there. So what right. what ended up being the house beers for you guys?
Yeah, so our main beers, our first one that's kind of been from the beginning is Saucy Intruder, which is our rye IPA. 75 IBU, 77.2% alcohol, bigger, rye yeah. spiciness, kind of grapefruit hop aroma. I think it's the only year-round rye in the state, maybe more. So that was followed up with Natural Liberty, which is a citra hop pale lager, so lighter, and it's all citra hops, very basic. It's all pils and malt, all citra hops. You're just letting those hops shine.
Right.
So it's like a pale ale, but with a lager yeast, light and crisp. And then our third one, you see a theme with hops. Third one was TV Wolf. That's kind of more your traditional, like, West Coast style American IPA. Before all the IPAs were cloudy and filled with milk sugar and
right.
sweetness. Just a traditional crisp kind of. We do use cryo hops. We're kind of the newfangled. You take all the vegetal matter out of hops, and it's just like the resinous flavor part. You put that in and get a big bang for your buck, and it helps it with shelf stability when you want to go into, you know, Meijer, Kroger, your bigger box stores, which don't refrigerate your beer.
Right. Well, and you guys are in an interesting era where a lot of technology now is filtered back into the business. I'm sure mm-hmm. when you first started out, you had a more limited palate, and now probably the palate is pretty wide so far as hops. Hops right. even famously for a while were hard to get, and they've made an amazing comeback.
Right.
In fact, we talked to, was it Dr. Dave? We talked about the friendly hop farmer who also could set your badly broken bones. So
there you, go.
You can get your bones set and then enjoy some delicious beer. I thought it was a good combination.
Yeah,
found that medical professions and lawyers, I'm a nurse.
Oh, good.
During the day. And then lawyers and booze all go together quite well.
See, that's perfect. And our producers and musicians.
So I think somehow there's some intertwined magic here of, you know, like you said, medical, hops, beer, music. I mean, it's all very good stuff, isn't it? The one thing, and I have really noticed, and I think that you have probably noticed, I think the uptick in craft beer has re-promoted that whole congenial sit around and have a beverage and talk thing, because I find beer is very much like that. It's easy to sit down with friends and have a beer or two.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that was the whole kind of, when we designed the tap room originally in the brewery, it was like, we wanted to be, you know, we didn't want to be a big regional brewer or bigger. We didn't have any goals for that. It was, you know, the pre-prohibition style where, you know, before refrigeration and in, you know, large scale mass transit, you have a brewery, but it's a community meeting space, right? That's where everyone comes to talk, to gather. You have beers that are made for the people who come there. You have direct feedback of, you know, if something they don't like, they will tell you to your face, I don't like this, I like this.
Right.
You know, you have, it's a lot more direct than, you know, having your beer set on a shelf in Virginia and you send it and then you forget it, right? It's
absolutely. And you guys, what was the criteria for selecting Irvington as the place to have Blackacre Brewery?
We looked at a few locations. And, you know, we looked at Fountain Square originally before Fountain Square went in that location, Fountain Square. We looked at Kings Park area. We looked at my biggest criteria was a community fabric that the brewery would fill a need and that supported it there. We didn't want to be downtown or somewhere where it's people are commuting to that, especially for your, like,
right.
your main locations. We wanted somewhere where we could count on. Yeah, hopefully on the weekend people from around would go in, but like for your Monday through Thursday, you wanted somewhere where the neighborhood would be your core contingent and would be your support there.
Well, and the other piece was we knew that we wanted to, none of us were sales people, and we're all, you know, somewhat socially awkward, and we wanted to be able to control our space.
Right.
And sell there. None of us, we didn't want to have a big, start off with a production facility where, you know, part of the bottom line is making sure that we can get into other bars and restaurants and distribution. We knew that we didn't have that abilities within ourselves. So we knew we can make a cool place and we can make some good beer. And if we can make a place that can support that, that's where we got to start.
Well, and that's what's been great about the beer industry is you can kind of invent what you want to be. There's been some very ambitious beers. There's been some well-received beers. But I literally feel that craft brewing has brought back the neighborhood feel because you want people to be able to walk to your brewery. I worked at a location downtown, and we were 2.5 blocks north of 414 Dorman Street, which is where Flat 12 Brewery is.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, it is tucked behind a couple of commercial buildings, but it had a great neighborhood feel. You felt like there's literally a brewery in this neighborhood, and I felt like that's what you guys accomplished. And I truly enjoyed having that. It was a jewel. It made you get a little exercise and fresh air. And then at the mid part of your walk, you could have a delicious beer.
That's right. I mean, and so Flat 12 was our neighborhood brewery. We lived, we still live on State Street. So
okay.
Four blocks east of there. And so, I mean, the brewery that you can walk to is that that trumps any other brewery, right? It's
absolutely
that, the community aspect of being able to go there, walk there, have a beer or two, you know, take your dog, whatever. That is.
Well, because, you know, the old beer stories always used to be, here's a reason why Old Style's big in Chicago. And obviously Heilman brewed out of a big brewery. Yeah. Iron City brewed out of a big brewery in Pittsburgh. But for Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Iron City was their beer, in much the same way Old Style was Chicago's beer. So in a great way, you guys are creating Irvington's beer, and it does bring back that local beer taste, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that's excellent that you've done that. And as you now get into distilling and things of that nature, and you've got a little bit bigger production space, what is next for Black Acre?
So we had a lot of plans, big plans for last year. Then there was the fire, so things are organically evolving.
Right.
But really for you know 6+ years, we're pretty conservative in nature when it comes to growth. We wanted to make sure if we were going to grow, it made sense. We didn't overextend ourselves. You know, we're not funded by an awesome benefactor, which if anyone's listening and wants to be our benefactor, let me know.
We're open to it.
Yeah. But you know, there's no bank loans. This is all just kind of the money that comes in. You have to be careful on how you grow. So that being said, you know, we had the tap room, we moved to a production facility here on Bonna. In the last year, we put the beer garden out here. That was kind of a big step for us, just as a second space for people to gather, and it's still, you know, a quarter done, but it's like a space that's evolving. In January of this year, was planned before the fire, but was good to give us an actual indoor space. The Black Acre Loft, which is across from the city market, kind of a speakeasy feel, art deco space above Greek's Pizza on Delaware Street. We've got a 45-person occupancy there, nice and intimate, but kind of a cool different vibe. That opened in January, and then we committed to, even before that, Corvus, which is our rotisserie taproom and bourbon bar in Zionsville that we've been working on. And that's because that's a whole rebuild. It's been a slower process and working through permits and design and everything. So we've got all the structural done there. We just got electrical and HVAC permits going, and we're hopefully get that moving as soon as possible. But that pretty much those are the things. And then rebuilding Irvington, Washington, obviously. So a lot of different projects, a lot of construction at the same time. But we're going to get those hopefully open, and then hopefully not do anything else for a couple years.
For a while.
Yeah.
Well, and sort of reading between the lines, you start out as a brewer, but then you become a little bit of a designer because you have to have a space, if you will, for people to enjoy your product. And then you have to get into fire investigation, which has happened for you. And then you've got to learn about permits and building and demographics and all that. But I would say overall, doesn't this have to be fun for you? And aren't you at least energized by the fact that the beer community not only came online, I think, in a very big way over the last 5 or 6 years, but it doesn't show signs of abating. And that's been the part that's been enjoyable for me.
Yeah, I mean, The beer industry, I think, is still strong. I mean, if you will look in, you know, Indianapolis just as a microcosm in the last couple, in the last 24 months. I mean, there's been more closures and buyouts than, you know, since the bubble burst in the 90s. There has been a kind of a shift in the brewing community. But I think overall, the breweries that emerge are going to be stronger for it. And,
right.
you know, mm-hmm. when there's a huge kind of gold rush boom, I mean, most of the breweries are good, but some people do just go in for as a cash grab. And there are things, there's always going to be, you know, those outliers that, sure. you know, really it's there's not quality, there's not passion there. And I think mm-hmm. having a downturn, which for beer has been in the last 24 months, that does help kind of distill down, you know, people that are, you know, good actors, you know, in that area.
Right.
And there's always room for a new brewery as long as again they make a great product and they have good service, you know. And
quality is going to win.
I think so too. We still live in a country, and I say this with pride because sometimes we look at things in America and we wrinkle our noses and, you know, sigh under our breaths. But we still live in a country where every fifth beer sold is Bud Light.
Right.
And on one level, you can say, well, isn't that just horrendous and horrible? Or you say, no, this was a country that was built on a great lager tradition. However, it's been the better crafted lagers and the ales that were brought on board from the craft beer industry that are slowly but surely turning people's taste in beer.
But I also feel like they're a little scared because of the number of breweries that they have acquired.
Sure.
The number of brands that they are trying to fake as craft beer.
Yeah. Well, so they're very aware of what they call the problem. Absolutely. Yes.
There's the astroturfing of craft beer, and that's a whole mm-hmm. podcast. Sure. We won't get into that. But I will say, I mean, from the defense of them, I mean, whether that's, you know, Miller High Life or Bud Light or Miller Lite, you know, especially now making a light lager, it is one of the most technically hard styles because there's no hiding there, right? You can take a beer that is flawed, you can put a ton of hops in it, fruit, something else, you can hide the technical flaws in your brewing. You know, you get a Bud Light, no matter what day of the week it is, it's going to taste the same. There's the consistency and quality there. Now, their business practices are appalling. The way they squeeze out the little guys are appalling. But I'm not going to count them on. If that's the beer you want a low-calorie, you know, rice syrup beer, if they do a very good one.
And if you want it to be drinkable, as drinkability.
Right.
Absolutely, and I think it's great. No, I think it is great that you tackle the lager.
Drinkability,
and
great.
As you said,
you can drink it. This is true.
Absolutely. Well, and like I said, there's somebody out there at a VFW that's popping a Bud Light right now.
Right.
So, and you know, this is what made America great in one way. But the fact that you guys tackle the lager, I think, is even further tribute to the fact that you're not afraid to take chances. And you are right. A lager is somewhat of a lighter beer. You can't really hide anything there. And I have noticed some other regional breweries attacking lager. In fact, at the radio station, we had a very famous brewer out of the middle of Michigan who really promoted their lager very heavily this year.
Was it gold of some sort?
It was kind of, yes.
Yeah.
But the thing that was interesting about that lager is they were addressing the issue of, hey, if your beer palate hasn't been expanded a little bit, let's try something that you're very familiar with, but let's try a more nuanced version of that product.
Yeah. Well, and I think something also that's been very interesting is, of course, being in the craft beer industry, and we've had all sorts of crazy beers with all the crazy flavors, and sometimes it's super dark, and sometimes it's super hoppy, and sometimes it's the most alcohol you can possibly put in a beer, and there's always something different. But what's interesting is over the last couple of years, these people who were so hardcore in their hops and so hardcore in their high alcohol levels or whatever it is, it's been really interesting to watch a lot of them come back to the lager.
Yes.
I just want something that is refreshing and light, and not everything that I have to drink has to be a punch in the face.
Well, and you guys obviously are very in tune with the brewing industry. And initially, craft beers had a certain appeal because, flavor aside, they had a little higher alcohol levels. So people were using them to drink for effect, not flavor.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But as you said, unless you've just had a series of head injuries, you eventually come back to the fact that you're going to need something that's more flavorful. And maybe flavorful doesn't matter if it's 4% ABV or 6.5% ABV. You're going to drink what tastes good to you and sort of adjust your life from there. And as you well know, many famous beers have been adjusted and now called session ales, mm-hmm. so that you can enjoy them with your friends as mm-hmm. opposed to drink one and call Uber.
Right.
Yeah. So, but it's been great talking to you guys. I'm looking forward to more and more. I'm also looking forward to some weather that we can actually enjoy the beer garden. I walked through the beer garden not knowing how to get into your facility, mm-hmm. but I drove around the block several times, which is not easy in Irvington, let me just say that, and found out that I did come in the correct entrance, so I was proud of myself.
It's all terrain right now. It's good.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if nothing else, you have to earn your beer. It's not easy to get to. So. But I
admire the fact that you guys are here in Irvington. I admire the fact that you're obviously going to come back with the main room there on Washington Street. And, you know, time and time again, that's what we hear is people love the walkability of Irvington.
And if you're going to walk, I think that you should always have a beer in the middle of it. I don't know. I'm sure a fitness expert would tell me I'm wrong, but I just feel like that
there's
really...
There's no open container in Indianapolis, so you can take the beer and you can walk in between your places. So
interestingly, do you not, as a brewer, are you not sometimes just absolutely amazed at the weird spectrum of liquor laws we have here? But like you said, you could get a roadie for the walk back if you wanted.
Indiana has a lot of weird liquor laws, but you find every other state, they're all weird in their own way.
Oh, yes.
It's the whole thing of a state-based system, and we're slowly evolving. The State House, actually, I kind of have been heading up for the Brewers Guild of the state. There are lobbying efforts for the last 6 or so years, so the State House, actually, every year, this year's short session, probably not getting anything passed, but every year you were slowly add to craft brewers. They've been very supportive to us. And
Absolutely. The bottom line is, if you're an adult and you enjoy beverages that have alcohol in them and you use them responsibly, I feel like you should be kind of able to enjoy those beverages. But apparently you can only do it during certain times. Because if you want beer at 11:30 on Sunday to go, you're a heathen. We all know that, but at noon, you're perfectly fine.
But only this last couple of years, because it used to be not that.
Yes.
My big thing is call your local congressman, call your local senator in terms of, and it won't happen right now, but cold beer in grocery is the thing that I've been battling.
Yes.
Because beer is not a convenience issue. Cold beer is not a convenience issue, is what the State House sees it as. It's a quality issue. Hops are a vegetable. They break down, and you do not get the same quality of hoppy beers on a warm shelf. And for craft breweries, pushing quality, cold beer and grocery, when 70% of people in Indiana don't even go to a liquor store more than once a year, cold beer and grocery is a necessity for craft beer in Indiana.
And if you're cocooning from a virus outbreak, you're going to need cold beer. So actually what you're saying right there just makes all the sense in the world. You wouldn't have your frozen vegetables sitting out on the shelf. You'd want them in the freezer. So your tasty beer that needs refrigeration is begging you to have a refrigerated space for you to purchase said tasty beer. And tasty beer creates jobs and makes people happy.
Absolutely. And as I'm saying that, I realize going publishing this that I respect all of our liquor store partners and they're awesome partners to this, and I
know, don't you love that?
The power balance between things and finding an equitable
what you
solution.
Need is a button that says I love everyone and I respect all opinions.
Yes.
Anything I've ever said or thought, I just want to moderate that to make sure that you're accommodated. Absolutely. Well, Holly and Justin, it's been absolutely great having you. It's kind of great to hear the Black Acre story sort of straight from you guys, because obviously we're excited. We want you guys to come back, but we don't know all the story. So, you know, and I know it's steps, and you probably don't want to go through a fire investigation again. So that's probably not much fun, is it?
Not in the next 6 months, at least, I think.
Absolutely.
We're good for now.
Well, we'd like to thank artists and realtors, and, of course, we'd like to thank the Black Acre. I know that you guys were busy enough that you probably didn't know we were doing some shows from your brewery, but we always spoke in glowing terms, so it wasn't like we were camping on your doorstep.
Well, thank you.
We were very appreciative of your patronage, so thank you so much. Well, there you go. Live from the Black Acre, we learned a lot. And we're sitting here in the beer garden. Now, today we're sitting in because it is winter here in central Indiana. But someday it will be spring and summer, and you want to sit out and enjoy an absolutely delightful beverage. So we'd like to thank the Black Acre. We'd like to thank Artisan. And we'd like to thank you for being a part of Firehouse Irvington. Until we meet again, please be kind.